Doop dee 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 doo. All right, welcome to the Smeggy version of Every Second Matters for Akeaprol 2018. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Thanks people for joining me. If you're out there watching and would like to join in the conversation, just let me know over on gunchannels.com and I will send you a link. So we're basically just going to talk Second Amendment today. I don't know if anyone watched the thing I did earlier, which was the legislative update. I tried to cover all the stuff that happened. Maybe you guys know some stuff that I missed that we could talk about, or have comments on it, like if you want to dive into some of the different things. So I'll just introduce the people that are here right now with me. So first off, we have G-Webs. Thanks for joining.
You bet. Thanks for the invite. Thanks for hosting it.
Yeah, no problem. And then secondly, we have Dead Horse.
Howdy.
All right, how's it going? So, and I see out here in the chat, we got Raph watching us and Dr. No. So, welcome to you guys. And yeah, I wanted to start off with something that was mentioned in the chat of my last one, which I don't really watch the chat as I'm doing it because I get too distracted. I try and keep that one short as almost like like a news segment. And this month I didn't do the very good job keeping it short. So, but I did miss this. The dictionary has redefined assault rifle. They've actually edited the definition of what that word means, and it still has the initial part, which is what all of us I think would consider an assault rifle, and that is a an intermediate cartridge. With a selector switch that can go full auto, basically. They word it better because they're a dictionary, and we would, I think, would all accept that. That's what it was. That's what it was designed for at first. Like, it was a thing. Then they've added in there and semi-automatic versions that, cosmetically look the same or something like that. They basically what used to be called, and I think should still be called, because then we can at least know what we're talking about, like an assault weapon, which was a made up term, and to de define a semi-automatic firearm that looks like, an assault rifle or whatever. And they've just changed the definition and they've combined it together, and those are now, like, I don't know if I want to say officially assault rifles, but as far as the dictionary goes, like, they're including that. And I think the war with language is important. We speak in words, and honestly, we think in words. I've heard someone say that before. If you can control the language someone thinks in, you can control what they think. And I don't know who said that, but anyways, the point being is I think that this is an important fight to be like, no, those are not assault rifles. Like, that had a definition that, again, worked very well, and you're making it a gray area. You're making it, wishy-washy. I understand language is flexible. Words mean different things as people use them, but I don't think we should let them change a definition because a bunch of anti-gunners misuse a word, and then now all of a sudden it's like, well, everyone keeps using this word. It kind of be like the dictionary. Again, this is a dumb one, which I don't think is as important if they were to do this, but it'd be like if the definition of clip was a thing that holds bullets in a gun, like if they just similar to magazine, like if it became the official definition, I wouldn't lose too much sleep over that. But the assault rifle one being like the Again, I keep saying official, but the dictionary recognizes it as a semi-auto can now, like, be described as an assault rifle, I think is ridiculous. I mean, that's we need to take the word back. We really do. That's and I don't necessarily know how to fight a language war other than just what we use and correcting people as often as possible. But the Oxford Dictionary doesn't get to invent new stuff. Like, they don't, I don't know. We shouldn't let him do that. There you go. Control the language, control the mind, George Orwell. Yeah, that's like I said, the quote I'm thinking of is a little different, but it's that same mentality. And it is true. Because, like, I don't know about you guys, but like when I hear like a thought in my brain, if it's like words, those words, if those are controlled, then really the thought inside your brain's controlled. And as soon as I saw that, I instantly thought of the guy I used to work with who was an anti-gunner. I used to argue with him quite a bit. He retired a year and a half ago, something like that. So I haven't really fought with him in a while because obviously he retired. But I could just like I could hear his voice. Like I could hear him saying to me as soon as I saw that, be like, "Oh, did you see? Those are officially assault rifles now." Like the dictionary is the pinnacle of authority. Like, well, if the dictionary says it, it must be true. What do you guys think of that? Do you think this is a hill worth fighting for? Like, am I just being overly sensitive, or is it important to, take back our own language?
I think that it's undermining us, and it's trying to do it shady and backhanded, and then they can kind of pre then they're going to pretend like, look, even the, because someone eventually, it might be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, but they're eventually going to be able to use that as ammo. And look, even the dictionary classifies it this way. Like, I mean, it's just another shady attempt to undermine us and to sneak something in and to. That's what I don't know. It's almost on the conspiracy side as far as I'm concerned that they even did that they like, I mean, I don't know. Especially so soon and just, yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of going back and forth on that because I don't know if the dictionary has necessarily an agenda or whatever. I don't know. And so it maybe it's possible, but at the other time, I mean, look at when they add words to the dictionary that are like, texting words or, like gaming words. Like I don't know. I don't have an Oxford dictionary handy, but I think I remember back when I was a nerd, being all excited because they put like noob in the dictionary. Like a person who has new at doing stuff, normally used as an insult. Like, their job is to kind of say, okay, these are all the words people are saying, and this is what they mean when they say it. But I think a better way of doing it, if you had that in there, you have what I'm going to call the actual definition. You know how there's always like one, two, three, four, like you can have multiple uses. I think it should be like a number two is like commonly mistaken for semi-automatic rifles, commonly used mistakenly to describe, semi-automatic firearms that look similar or something like that. Like that would have been a more neutral way of saying that yes, people do use this word, but it's not really what they mean it to be.
This is manipulation, not clarification, and not just objective, like information. It's definitely dominant agenda. Like you said, if they would have said something with often mistaken for the more accurate, blah blah blah, that would have also implied some, well, potentially could have implied some agenda. But yeah, I think like what Dedar said, they just did this so that eventually they can say there's an authority that says this is what the definition is, even though they just created the definition today.
Right. I mean, it's kind of like if so to pivot from this because I don't want to talk language for 5 hours. It's kind of like the ATF kind of pivoting the definition of what full auto stands for. where originally it's, one trigger action, one bullet, semi-auto, and if one trigger action causes a series of events that creates, continuous fire, that's considered full auto. And so I'm referring to the bump stock ban thing that is now open for comment. So everyone listening to this, please go comment on the new regulation and let them know you don't want bump stocks to be banned. And there's many ways to come at this, but the way that they describe even how a bump stock works is they say after like an initial trigger pull, so like the user is initiating the first trigger pull, then the device, it's a mechanical device, and they use the words self-regulating and self-acting device that creates continuous fire. So the idea is you pull the trigger once, and then somehow, because of the recoil or whatever, like the bump stock is then initiating all of the other series of events to fire a bullet. And I've mentioned it before, I think it's important to repeat yourself on things. My response to that would be shoot a bump stock one-handed. It's not going to shoot more than once because the user is inputting, forward pressure. The user is controlling how many times the firearm moves forward, which then causes your finger to touch the trigger and then fire another bullet. So, besides the fact that it's your own finger doing the work of actually touching the trigger, I mean, it's not like the bump stock has a little like plastic peg that sticks out that hits the trigger and it does all the work. But I would really focus on that left arm, the off arm. If without that, it's not self-acting, it's not self-regulating, it's not doing anything. The user is controlling when the firearm goes back forward.
I think maybe you don't fully understand how a bump fire stock works. You affix that. First off, you don't even need any kind of license. Any kid could buy one of these things. And then you can just walk up to a gun, put it on there, which doesn't take any tools to assemble, from what I understand. And then it's like Alexa. You just say machine gun, and then it's a machine gun.
Oh, okay.
Except you address it like bump stock. Assault rifle, and then it takes the form of an assault rifle.
Like the Wonder Twins, form of assault rifle. Yeah, I hope everyone listening realizes that you're being sarcastic, because it if not, I'm a little worried you're in the wrong But yeah, I mean that's I don't know, what do we have here? Apparently Adam Kraut did a video about that. Oh, talking about how to word your response. Yeah, okay. I mean, I guess check that out. I personally go with I like when everyone uses their own brain to decide what they want to say themselves. And I th actually I did mention it in the other chat, but I'm going to repeat it in case no one watched my initial one, which is the legislative update, supposed to be the short one. It was long this week or this month, but you can submit multiple comments. I would suggest picking one point and doing, a few sentences or a little paragraph or something about that one point, ending it with "Don't ban bump stocks," and then boom, done. Then send another one on a different point. And there are different ways to attack this bump stock regulation. I think the biggest one, it mainly for myself being an engineer, being a nerd, I look at the technicality of it and saying, how can you define this as self-acting? So that's going to be like my trump card. That's my ace in the hole. Like that's it doesn't make any sense. Like using your own words, you can't justify what you're trying to do. And then all the other ones of just plain simple shall not be infringed. And the idea of taking things away from citizens, like, because these people are going to have to destroy them or turn them in, and that they've spent money on it. So just like, why are you hurting the citizens like for no benefit? Like you're just costing them a bunch of money for no benefit. And then even in their own paper, they talk about the money for the government, how much it's going to cost to actually implement this. And it's like, government wastes enough money. You don't need to waste, government money. You don't need to waste the people's money for something that is not a problem at all. Like there's no crime using bump stocks. So what are you even solving? You're solving a problem that doesn't exist. So anyways, and I know there's lots of people have been talking about bump stocks. The thing to keep in mind though, because even with the federal thing, there are still state level ones that are either already have banned them or are trying to ban them. One of the ones that stands out to me, again, I was already previously mentioned, but maybe I'll get your guys' opinion on it, is Vermont. And I guess I just realized today it's all one bill. They wrapped all the anti-gun stuff up into one bill. I thought it was like multiple ones, and but it's all one. So it's all or nothing with the raising the age to 21, magazine limit of 10 rounds, a bump stock ban, and oh my goodness, I thought there was a fourth one. But anyways, that's all, it's passed, and now it's waiting on the governor. And hopefully he vetoes it. But I think there's been news reports, like a press release where he said he would sign it. So it's not good. We're definitely uphill battle to change minds in the state of Vermont. So what are your guys' feelings on that?
Not a fan of Vermont changing their things like you keep saying. I don't like it.
Yeah, I guess I'm mostly disappointed because Vermont has always been a like live and let live type state. Like they haven't had gun control laws. They're one of the few over in that area of the country that's just like, yeah, let people have stuff. It's no big deal. I mean, they've been constitutional carry like forever just because it hasn't been illegal. Like it's not illegal to concealed carry there. So I think that's a, don't know what you call it. That's a big black eye. That's a big hit. Like that's not a good one. That's just like
Very
Arizona
few
trying to do
old,
stuff.
we have very few very old traditions or situations that we can point to that are untarnished, pure freedom, and that's going to be potentially the end of one of them. And it's a big hit for the other side, or a big gain for the other side, because they get to look at that as like, see, the old stuff isn't working anymore. We finally got rid of the last little bits of it. So what we see is the last, last, ancient pieces that still stand because they work, they see as important to remove for new, to change the way things are. So
Right.
again, that it's changing isn't because overall there's a trend in violence. It's not changing because overall there's a change in tastes of criminals to be more violent with guns specifically. There's no nothing of any worth. It's just an effort, probably a strategic effort on the anti side to exploit this specific situation, or it's completely exploitative, like they lucked into it. That would be the worst. And I don't know if it even matters if they've sit around waiting for this and were fishing, and this was the right time at the right lure and the right bait and the right rod, and they're reeling it in, or if they just randomly snag something and they're taking it for what it's worth. Who really cares? Because what's happening is things are changing because of a single instance, and that means that's precedent for them to cite going forward. Oh, here's another single incident. Remember what we did last time? Let's do that again. Remember what we did last time? Remember how good it felt? Let's do that again. So what's also an opportunity for us is the potentially vigilant defenders of the liberty, right, of individual freedom, that if we just sit around and do nothing, we sit around and don't mobilize, we're losing it. It's gone. Because if we can't figure out how to keep it together, who the hell is gonna? We don't elect people to do this for us. We don't pay people to do this for us. If we ain't going to do it for us, nobody's going to do it for us.
Right. You know, that's a good point. And I mentioned that before as well. It's like, we can sit there and complain that, oh, the anti-gunners get all the time on TV and like the, you know, the news reaches out to them and blah, 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 whatever. Okay. That's true. But we're behind the eight ball. Okay, great. So what do you do about it? Do you just quit and give up? Or you say, okay, I have to work extra hard. Like, we have to be our own media. What we're doing right now, which we've been doing it for a while, but it's like by specifically picking a time to get together and talk about this stuff and hopefully share resources and, you know, get people energized and mobilized and getting as much reach out there as possible. You know, I encourage everyone listening, as we've, you know, talked in many, many other Every Second Matters, this is an idea that, like, at least once a month, specifically think about the second and what you can do to, you know, protect our freedoms. Or, and even if it's just like outreach towards other people and getting them to kind of become gun people, or at least not be anti-gun. Like, if you like arguing with people or whatever, then great. You have at least it's in the front of your mind to be, you know, an awareness campaign of the Second Amendment and why it's so important. So I don't know. I'm trying to do my part, and I hope everyone else does their part. We're actually starting to see a few more viewers popping in. So has it been 18 minutes? I think that horse might be onto something there, but thanks guys for jumping in and watching. As I'll mention it again, if anyone wants a link to jump in, talk about Second Amendment type stuff, hit me up on Gun Channels. I'll send you a link. I have a few out there to other people that I know are interested in this kind of stuff. So we'll see where it goes. Let's see, as far as what else? Oh, thanks. It wasn't anything because I was being that awesome. But sorry, some people are talking about what they did today. A couple people, you know, didn't leave the house. Mel says he didn't leave the house, but he oiled his carry gun. That's kind of a good, if nothing else, a monthly maintenance schedule. That's a good thing to do on the second. It's like, well, it's the second. I should, you know, take care of my carry gun, clean it up, re-oil it, and all that kind of stuff. Obnoxious Wore is Every Second Matters hat, the local gun store. That's cool.
I was going to say that is an excellent idea, is just because, let's face it, a lot of people, you know, a lot of people lack on their gun cleaning and their cleaning habits when it comes to something that may have to, you know, protect their lives one day. So getting into a habit like that of cleaning it on the second of every month, even if you don't shoot it, even if you haven't shot that gun the previous month, just getting into that habit of cleaning it every month. I mean, you never know when something tiny, that one piece of sand falls in there or something. And then when you need it, that, you know, you want it to be reliable, right? So I think that's a great habit. That's a great idea. Every second of every month, cleaning your gun.
Yeah. Or maybe even also, like, in addition to that, you know, swapping out your carry ammo. Because I know some people that every so often when they go to the range, they end up, like, you know, shooting their carry ammo and then filling it back up with fresh stuff. But maybe, you know, if you can't get to the range on the second, at least, like, you know, empty the mag and put those guns aside, or I'm sorry, put those rounds aside, fill it up with fresh stuff, and then next time you go to the range or whatever, shooting the other stuff, which again gives you practice with, like, the actual stuff you're using. So I think that's good. And then also it uses up the ammo that's you've been carrying around a bunch of times, especially if you've, you know, loaded it and then for some reason you had to, you know, take the round out of the chamber and you end up just, like, putting it back in the mag and then it loads again, that get that bullet set back and all that stuff. I think it's just kind of nice to shoot that up and put fresh stuff in there every once in a while.
Well, not even set back. Like, they don't always set back. Sometimes they come out. Sometimes you'll go to eject that round. All of a sudden, the case comes out, and the bullet's not there because the bullet actually jumps out of the case. Like, I've seen that happen. So they don't always get set back either.
Repainted steel targets today, so that's a good one too. I'm liking all of the, gun related maintenance once a month type stuff. But which again, it's good to do. But I look at the second as more, it's once a month that I definitely have to look into what bills are being pushed, what passed, what signed. As you guys know, I did the video earlier. But yeah, it's a good way of getting back into the fight, getting, reminding yourself what's at stake. And I forget where this came up, but so this is just gonna be a hard transition because I'm curious, like, what you guys think about it, audience and people joining me. I saw a thing that said London's crime rate is now higher than New York City's. And I just thought it was like, wow, because they have much tougher gun laws even over there than they do in New York City. And New York has always blamed it on, well, our neighbors have loose gun laws, so they, they bring the guns in. But London's neighbor is like the rest of England, which has the same type of bad gun laws. So what are they blaming their problem on? I just saw that today on the Instagrams.
Are
And
they
I
blaming
watched
it on?
it.
I have they gone to the immigration route yet? Blamed it on immigration?
I don't have any idea. It's.
Gosh, when did that backfire on them?
But yeah, I just thought that that was interesting. And again, I think if anything, because let's say you do that, you're gonna get the anti-gunners to start saying, well, it's not really fair to compare, two different cities or two different countries because they have other stuff going on and blah blah blah. And although I think that's a valid point, it really isn't fair to compare crime rates in different countries or cities or whatever. But to getting the anti-gunners to say that, then when they try and say, like, our country should be more like this other one, because look, they don't have gun crimes, then you can use that same line on them as saying, listen, it's a different culture, it's a different whatever. Like, tons of things affect crime rate. And that's one of the things when, people list Detroit as being, oh, it's a lot of gun, a lot of crime, and they have strict gun laws and stuff. We really don't. We don't have that strict of gun laws compared to all the other cities. Like, we're better than all of the Chicago and New York. So, it's just I don't know. There's many factors. Detroit is more of an economic thing, I think, is the main driving factor. We got hit with the automotive industry, and that the crime went up, and then it's went back down a little bit, and then it goes up a little bit. Like, but I don't think it has anything to do with gun laws. I'm just kind of scrolling through the Instagrams here, see if there's anything else that caught my eye recently. I guess this is kind of Every Second Matters related, but there was a thing about the Florida kids that went back to school. They all had to have clear backpacks. And I thought it was funny that's like, oh, this is against our right to privacy, blah blah blah. And it's like, I completely agree with you on that. I think clear backpacks are dumb. And at the same time, I go, well, then how come you can't use that same mentality to be like, well, you want to take away the Second Amendment? So, I don't know. I'd rather
Well, I
just.
agree. I saw that too, and I laughed about it. I thought it was kind of like, ha ha, maybe you'll learn something. I doubt it, but maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, it's if anything, I like when the other side uses like the same logic and the same rationale that I tend to use of saying, freedom is important and our rights are important and all that kind of stuff. So I like when the other side can use that same argument because that means like their brain it does work to go through that logic. Like they understand how it works, but then it's a shorter step to get them to say, and then therefore, it works on my side as well. Because at least then you're not arguing the premise because they agree with the premise.
I am honestly convinced that, like, did you see all the stuff about that same kid with the clear backpack and all that, who's bitching about the clear backpack? The same kid who was like the voice of it all, to take guns
Right.
and stuff. Like that same kid, like, it's, I don't know if this is true, but I'm seeing it all over social media that it's, he wasn't even there that day. But all the news interviews of him at first were like, yeah, we heard the shots ring out of my class and all this stuff. But now they're showing interviews later on where he's like, yeah, I grabbed my camera and ran to the school.
Okay, so I heard someone talking about this the other day. And it's one of those, it's gotten mixed up. The way I understand it, he was at the school. It happened. They whatever, evacuated the schools on lockdown, all that stuff. He ran home and came back. So you're only hearing the second half of that story of I grabbed my camera and rode my bike to the school. That's the part because he would like he inst it at least shows like he wanted to like I don't know interview kids like right then and there like his brain was already like I'm gonna document this because he wants to be a journalist or
Well, yeah,
whatever.
because his mom's like a reporter for CNN or something, or some
Yeah, and he said he wants to be a like an activist journalist or whatever. So what's happening is you're hearing the tail end of that statement, and it gets blown out of like oh look he wasn't even there, and I caution. The
Okay, well,
pro-gun
that's the way
side
I've
of
just
jumping
seen it
on that.
on all sorts of people's pages on Instagram and social media, and I don't know because I don't watch like the regular news. So, it's hard for a guy like me to know, is like, is that real? So I'm always cautious about that. That's why I said, like, straight up, I don't even know if
Yeah,
it's real or what.
that's it's it is my understanding that it is getting jumped on as almost a conspiracy type thing, but it's being taken out of context that he was there. And he went home, grabbed his camera, came back, and people are only focusing on that the second half of the sentence, not the first half of the sentence. And maybe it's because, like, he in that interview, like they didn't explain it very well or whatever. So you can just chop out that one part. And yeah, he just mentions about going back to school.
I don't know.
But
Find out.
that's the way I understand it to be. And so and that's one of the things I don't like jumping on. Necessary a conspiracy type thing, or not even conspiracy, but just like jumping on something if I don't know for sure, because the anti-gunners will then say, well, watch the full 20-minute video, and when you see the whole 20-minute interview, he talks about being like it proves that he was there or whatever, and then they say, so therefore, everything you've ever said, like I don't have to believe, and that's what they do if they catch you in one little lie, whether you did it on purpose or you were just misinformed. We all know facts can get all mixed up when, especially on big stuff like this. So it's like if they catch you in one little thing, then they're going to say, so therefore, I don't have to listen to anything you said. So I'm very cautious when I say that kind of stuff. But that's how I understand it is he was there and he went home and then came back. But whatever. Anyways, I don't even like talking about that dude. So, I don't. I'm almost using the same rule that I use for, the bad guy murderer killers. I don't say their name. I don't want to see a picture of their face. That's the one thing I can say on this one, the Florida one. I have no idea who did it. And I am super happy about that. I hope nobody ruins it for me. I've never seen a picture of him. Never know his name. I'd like to do the same thing with this anti-gun kid. Unfortunately, I know his name and know what his picture looks like. I'm not going to say it.
I think that is an excellent, excellent policy you have by doing that, by not saying his name and not ever showing a picture of him. That is an excellent policy. I like the idea of that and not giving him any kind of anything. No undeserving attention or anything, like, you know, just, yeah.
Yep.
That's a great idea, dude.
Oh, all right. The chat's getting a little squirrely out there. Yes, I do like Mountain Dew, though. Anyways, so there was another thing I wanted to bring up. Again, I'm kind of repeating myself from my earlier video. If people haven't watched it, we have a lot more viewers now, so thanks for tuning in, guys. You know, please check out that one. It's just me talking and summarizing everything that's happened. But there was, and I forget which state it was now. That's the problem. It's like I forget some of this stuff. There's so much stuff going on. But there's a state that is trying to, like, raise the limit for rifles to 21 unless you have, like, a permission slip from a parent or guardian. And I thought that was interesting. It's still bad. Like, I'd say,
Over 18, you don't have a guardian. You can still have a parent, but you don't have a guardian at 18, right? Because you become an adult. Not unless you're somehow, you know, like, I don't know. Like, you don't have a guardian after 18, right? Like,
right. And that's the whole point, because you are a legal adult at 18. You're your own guardian. Oh, that would be an interesting way to do it. I just thought, like, sign a thing for yourself that says, like, you know, like, pull a Ron Swanson. The thing says, I can do what I want. And if they're like, it has to be a guardian, be like, I'm my own guardian legally. I'm 18. It doesn't matter who gave birth to me. Like, I'm my own guardian. I'm 18. That'd be an interesting thing. I bet you they probably wouldn't sell it to you if it goes through. But I thought that was an interesting take on the law of this. Like, well, we don't want 18 to 20-year-olds to be able to buy guns unless their parents say it's okay. I wonder if, legally speaking, they do that because the parents would be held responsible for the next 3 years. Like, if something did happen, they would come back and say, well, you gave him permission to get it, so therefore you get in trouble, which I don't think should be a thing. Like, it's not the parent's fault that an adult does something just because, you know. I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting take. You know, that's the thing. Multiple states are coming after us different ways, but most of them are very similar. And I like highlighting the differences in how the states do it. Like, some of the ones that did bump stock, like, specifically, and others of them go with rate increasing devices, which we've all speculated could be just about anything. So, I don't know. What do you guys think of the permission slip idea? It's almost like a compromise between, you know, letting adults be adults and have rights, which is the preferred outcome, and you're just a dumb kid until you're 21. This is a compromise kind of in the middle, although more towards you're still a dumb kid because your parent has to say if it's okay or not.
Well, you know, I'm all for it if they raise the driving age to 21 and the age of the military to 21 and the age of getting a job to 21. And, you know, if they just move
and all those
other things where someone can do detrimental damage to someone else or to themselves, all those life-making choices, if they just move all those to the age of 21, there we go, problem solved. So, let's see how well that flies.
Right. You can't don't have the, you know, you don't have the Fourth Amendment right until you're 21.
Yeah.
You don't have, like, anything.
Just move everything. Every kind of decision that could possibly, like, even what college you go to. Oh, you know what? You can't even go to college until 21. because you might choose the wrong college at 18, I don't think that you're mentally secure in your facets. You might make a life, you might make a life-ending choice that might be, like by choosing the wrong college. I
See,
mean,
I'm not for raising it to 21. However, they would at least then be consistent, because what they're saying is you are not an adult until you're 21.
I
And
don't
if
even
that's
think you
what they're
should be allowed to
saying,
fly
then
on a
they should
plane
go
until you're
through
21. So,
everything. I would still disagree with it. I would still fight against it, because I think you are an
well,
adult at 18. It's you should have all your rights. That makes sense to me. But at least then they'd be consistent.
why do we pick the age of 18? By the way, why is it 18? Why is that?
Isn't that when you graduate high school?
Is that why? Is it just purely on that one thing? Is that's about the average age of a high school graduate? So when people, so we're
Is it
basing it off of when kids get out of high school.
when you leave the public school system? I would assume so. That's like a waypoint. I don't know why 16 for driving doesn't make any sense.
Because parents are sick of driving their kids all around everywhere.
Used to be
So,
18 for driving. I mean, it used to be 18 for drinking.
well, I had my driver's license at 14, but I lived out in the middle of nowhere, and it was called a farmer's license. And we could drive into town and back out of town, and we could drive to school and back from school, and like straight to the grocery store, basically, or straight to school and back. And we could drive around all on the farm and on all the other public access roads and stuff around the farm. And that was at the age of 14. So, I guess it kind of depends on where you live. But if you look at it that way, like, I mean, the Second Amendment, what's if they're like, oh, you got to be 21 years old to own a rifle, like, what else are they going to decide? Oh, now you got to be 21 to do. I mean, like, it's just that's what opens the gate right there, because that's what the Second Amendment's forest to protect all of our other rights.
Well,
So,
I think another way to challenge it is that none of the people that have done any of these things have been 18. Except for one, they've all been over 21. So it's another step, it's another measure for no reason. Doesn't prevent anything that's actually happened.
right. And it's either they've been older than 21, or they've even been younger than 18, which means they didn't buy the thing anyways. So
It's
you're
like
right. It's
a action, and it's again, it's just an attempt to make any change. Any change is a win for them because it creates precedent, and overall precedent for the culture that when a single incident happens, rights get removed and things get changed, and it's not significant.
right. And I just want to clarify, because of the chat, some people saying, no compromise shall not be infringed, all that. I hope you guys weren't mistaking me of saying that I agreed with it. I was only pointing it out as an interesting detail between different states and how they do it. I like exploring kind of interesting quirks or interesting things, but yes, I will say officially I'm going on the record, shall not be infringed. That's But I think all you guys know that, and you're just messing with me. But I wanted to just clarify,
Link
I
that
was
on the
not supporting it. I just I it is a more mild step than what the other states are doing.
let me
In fact,
see.
there are some states that say you can't even, be in possession. You can't even own between 18 and 21. And that's even more strict than the ones that just say you can't buy until you're 21. So there's many degrees of restrictions, some more harsh than others. I think they're all dumb. Let's just say that.
So, are we going to raise the age of prescription drugs to 21? So, when you're 18, 19, 20, you can't like get prescription drugs. I mean, like, when is it going to stop? I mean, that's the thing. When you're 18, you're an adult, dude. That's the way it should be.
I'm completely with you on that. I want to
I
go the other way
and
and lower the handgun age
alcohol,
to 18.
everything. Alcohol, everything. Like, when you're 18, if you can have a job at 18, have your own fucking place at 18, be working for your country at 18, If you could be doing all that at 18, dude, I mean, you should have the freedom to make your own choices and have what you want and do what you want.
Right. And sorry, I talked over you there for a second. But yeah, that's where I'm saying I want to go the other way and lower the age of handguns to 18. Like I don't know when the handgun thing became 21 and rifles were 18. I don't remember it happening. Maybe it's been like that for,
The
I won't say always,
NFL.
but it's been like that for a long time, or maybe I just wasn't paying attention when it
Wasn't that the
happened.
NFA? 1934? Like, wasn't that the actual when handguns became 21? Few
I
months?
don't know.
Okay. Well, I could be totally wrong. I don't think it was the GCA. I don't think it was the Gun Control Act, and it wasn't the. I think it was the NFA. I think that was when.
No, it was the gun control. It was
Was it the
18.
Gun Control Act of 68 or?
Believe so. That's when it brought everything to 20. Well, that's when it brought pistols to 21 for sure.
Okay, I thought pistols were 21 all the way back in like the 30s. Like,
But either way, I mean that's one of those, you know, yeah, we have to play defense as much as possible, and you know we are always getting attacked and whatnot, but we need to be on the offense as well as far as being pro rights. So when they say let's raise rifles to 21, I say let's lower handguns to 18 and see where that goes. But again, it almost comes back to the compromise thing. They're saying, like, we want all the guns, and we say, no, we'll compromise, just take half. And they say, okay, thanks. And they go, we want all the guns that are left. And we say, no, just take half. And they say, okay. And then they say, okay, now we want all the guns that are left. You know, it's.
I think that if we look like if it we have to look at it like if they're taking one right, they're taking them all. There's literally that's the way you have to look at it. They're not trying to take one. If when they're trying to just even compromise one, they're trying to compromise them all. That's the way it really needs to be looked at, like that firmly. But no, they're not just trying to take away your guns or trying to restrict them or. You know, no, they're trying to restrict everything, all your rights, all your freedoms and privileges and everything.
Yep, they certainly are. And that's one of the reasons why we do this, right? Is to at least get the information out there, get together, and said compare notes, what worked, what didn't, you know, that kind of stuff. So again, another hard shift. Sorry, I'm jumping around a little bit, but whatever, I'm doing it best I can. These pro 2A rallies, there's been a few so far, and apparently April 14th is going to be a lot more of them. So I encourage everyone to look into it, figure out, you know, is your state doing it? If not, you know, set up one yourself. I think it'd be awesome if we had another, you know, 50 state rally on April 14th. That would at least send a pretty clear message that there are people who like their rights and are fighting back. I went to a rally in Michigan. I guess what was it, a week ago, a couple weeks ago? It was whenever the anti-gun march, the march to take away your freedoms, whenever that was going on. That was in the morning. Then in the afternoon, at the state capital of Michigan, we had a pro 2A rally, and I thought it turned out pretty good. There was a lot of good speakers there. There was actually some politicians that showed up, and you know, whether they were just giving us lip service or not, it's at least important that you know, they recognize that, you know, we like the Second Amendment, and they're at least saying that they support it. The one guy, he's a senator right now for Michigan, and he's going to be running for governor. And I really like the type of stuff he had to say. He did seem genuine that he does support the Second Amendment. I talked with him a little bit after he gave his speech, and pretty much just let him know, hey, thanks for being here, and like, you have my support. He's actually in my district or whatever too, so I voted for him at the Senate level back in the day. And that was because of a mailer that I got that explained his views on guns. And he basically was like, shall not be infringed. So I'm like, oh, you're awesome. So, but that was good. I mean, we had a pretty good turnout, and we, like I said, had speakers and went for a little open carry walk around the Capitol after everyone spoke. And it was a fun day, even though it was cold and windy and all that stuff. And I think that it almost made it better, because it showed that, like, you know, we have the resolve to come out, even if the weather's crappy. Although hopefully a couple of weeks from now in April, everyone will be having better weather and they'll have even better turnout. What was the one that just did one? It was Vermont, wasn't it? Where they gave away 30 round magazines to like the first 1200 people that showed up or something.
Yep.
So I thought that was pretty cool. And on one hand, I thought it was a little bit of like incentivizing people to show up. But the other part of it is they're trying to ban 30 round magazines. So this is like a, you know, thumbing your nose at them kind of thing of like, okay, you want to get rid of these things. Well, we're going to give them out to people.
I kind of heard about that too, but I did not clearly hear about who was it that actually like bought all those mags and gave them out. Like, who was it that did that?
You know, that's a good question. Because
whoever does that, like if that was a company or whatever, that's the kind of company that like earns my business for doing things like that. When I see a company doing stuff like that, I'm like, you know, like if it was actually Magpul or maybe it was just a local gun shop, like, I don't know. But, you know, I mean, I'm much more likely to buy when two places have the same thing on sale for the same price or whatever. I'm much more place that did something like that, you know?
Right. And that's, I'm trying to go back. I saw something where, you know, it was like a picture of a pallet with a bunch of boxes on it.
Well, I think,
like,
they deserve a shout out for sure. I mean, like, I think the company deserves a lot of shout outs. I don't know who it was. I don't even remember like seeing all
that. I'm hesitant to say it was Magpul, but I think it might have been. So, but I don't want to give them necessarily credit. Yeah, Angelina's saying the same thing. She thinks Magpul donated it.
Oh, see, if it's cool. Thing, so it's Magpul, that's cool, because I already support the shit out of them. I buy a lot of their stuff. So,
so that makes sense. I'm just gonna.
Magpul's been a pretty stand-up company, man. Even like leaving a state and like just, you know, I mean, it takes a lot for a company like that to leave, like, right? Just to like fuck up and leave and move out of state because of like stupid gun laws and take their taxes and business elsewhere. Magpul's been a pretty, if it was Magpul, I wouldn't doubt if it was them. They've been a pretty good two-way friend, I think, as far as companies go.
I've followed the you know, repost trail, because sometimes you have to go through five different people before you figure out the original thing. But this is from Recoil Magazine. So that's their original post. In order to support law-abiding gun owners of Vermont and blunt the assault on their Second Amendment rights, Recoil Magazine's Rob Curtis will give away 1,200 30-round mags, Magpul P-Mags, on Saturday afternoon. So I guess it was set up through Recoil Magazine, but that doesn't necessarily take away that it's possible Magpul donated the magazines to Recoil to then give away. I'm not sure on that, but it's definitely, I mean, it's a pallet with a bunch of boxes for Magpul, so it's very possible that they donated it. And I'll give a shout out to Rob Curtis for
Is that not one way to actually get people to fucking show up, though, for real? Like, sometimes, you know, I mean, I'm sure that worked. I'm sure they gave out every last mag, right?
I would say so. So, yep. So there you go. So kudos for them. That's I'll try and dig in a little bit deeper. I won't necessarily do it on air, but the fact that other people are saying that they're pretty sure it was Magpul as well. But I'm not finding exactly that part of it. But definitely at least Recoil Magazine was part of the, well, the one dude from Recoil Magazine was part of the organizing the giveaway part. Oh, where else did I see that? Sorry, I lost my train of thought. I distracted myself. Oh, speaking of the rallies, so there was another, there was a like a student organized pro Second Amendment rally. I thought that was pretty good to see as well. To actually see that, you know, there are kids that are on the pro freedom side as well. And I don't know how much media coverage that got versus, you know, the other one. Probably not as much, I would guess, or if any. But yeah, it's that was nice to see as well. And that happened this past month. So I'm trying to find there was a picture of a kid holding up a sign that I thought was pretty good. Oh, yeah, I'm a high school student against gun control. That's the one that's been circulating the internets. So, not really sure how much what else there is to talk about. I said I'm hesitant to necessarily stop. We got a lot of people watching. Don't know what else there is to what else there is to mention. Pretty
Not
much
great.
everything.
Touching outside talking.
Yeah, I've been watching the Gun Channel site. So, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those, just we have to stay ever vigilant. You know, we're all on the same team here. We all obviously support the Second Amendment.
Most of us.
Yeah. And oh yeah, apparently there's some pizza thing today. So it's good to see Little Caesar supporting Every Second Matters, giving away pizza. I saw that all over Instagram. I have no idea why they're doing it, but I was like, oh, whatever. Little Caesars is gross, even though it's a Detroit company. I can admit it's not good pizza. Anyways, I'm getting distracted. So, crap, I was gonna say something else too. Oh, thanks, Beaver. Yeah, Beaver's over that way. So, what's up, buddy? The rally was put on by Vermont Federation Sportsman's Club, and the magazine was donated by Recoil Mag and Magpul. Okay, so they worked something out. So good for them. Good shout out to them. What else was I going to say?
It was
Crap,
some
there.
pretty good sports thing. You had to order it before 1 p.m. to get the free pizza.
Oh, okay. Like I said, I don't really
Wait,
care
what
about the
was that
pizza.
about free pizza? I heard something about Little Caesars today at free pizza.
It was some sports thing, and then you had to do it. You had to order it before 1 p.m.
Well.
All right. Well, like I said, I'm not sure what else is going on.
One of these days we'll get together with the guys and guys and gals doing the early watch and potentially have some sort of state zone type of effort so that people in the various states can monitor what's happening locally and consolidate those whatever
Yeah,
summaries.
consolidate the efforts of.
Then hopefully put that in Every Second Matters. Quickly, otherwise we'll soon see that disappear, and it'll be a regular website again. So try to, if you're interested, this is a good time to be active. There's always good time to promote our Second Amendment interests, but I think right now we're in an especially important time to be active. The apathy and the casual interest in the reasons behind the manipulation right now, or the manipulation behind the changes in law right now, these subtle changes are the most dangerous, right? The ones that don't seem all that uncomfortable, the reasons behind them are the evil. So there's always this push to get rid of our guns, and now they've figured out a way to make that comfortable. And yeah, it's very, very, very frustrating to see so many people doing nothing, really. I mean, this would be like a time for unification, especially with the changes in the platforms and the things. This should be a massive opportunity. So we'll continue to keep efforting. Appreciate everybody who is putting forth that effort. Hopefully we each represent a bunch of people who have casual interests that, if we can catch their attention, can be mobilized to bring forth the kind of call to arms, just to, you know, attention to a situation like this that the politicians will react to, and hopefully mobilize it so we can not have to be at such risk in the future. Definitely.
Right. Yeah. That was something that I did want to mention. I mentioned it in the other one, which is why I think I forgot about it, but the Early Watch Nation, although I called it the Early Watch Initiative, and I thought that sounded cooler. So maybe they should just stop what they're doing and rename it. But either way, if you guys aren't aware of it, watching out there, check them out. It's basically, it's a bunch of people just like doing their own thing. It's actual grassroots, and they have them set up for different states. And, you know, I think there's plenty more states that could use the help. So, you know, figure it out. And if there's something for your state, and you can help out, like, do that. But they're basically doing it's like an every second matters type thing, keeping track of what's going on. You know, I'm seeing a lot of posts on Instagram, and they all kind of, you know, link back together and repost each other and stuff like that. But there's one for each state, and there's like an overall Early Watch Nation is like the parent one or whatever. So yeah, hopefully we get them involved in the every second matters website, of updating the state sections over there and doing some other things. I know there's some stuff that I wanted to put some effort into as far as like debating tactics and arguments and things like that, where we can have resources available to anyone that's, you know, concise, simple, sortable, and, you know, it ends up being a useful tool. So I will continue to work on that a bit and get with some other people that have also shown interest in that. So that'd be pretty cool. But I don't know. Is there anything else you guys want to mention? I think I'm going to kind of start wrapping it up here. So
every second matters costs about 50 something bucks a month to run. The patches bring in less than $3 each, because the other money goes towards the Beacon Group. So if you want to put some money towards people that are differently abled and keep the site running, we encourage you to buy the every second matters patches. That way you can gift them to people or wear them around. Four packs are 40 bucks. So a couple people buy those each month, and the site doesn't become a burden, because right now it's a financial burden. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely check those out. Dead Horse, do you have anything you want to finish up with?
I want to plug the great country of America. And yeah. Don't let it get washed down the drain by a bunch of anti-American liberals.
All right. Thanks for that. That's something I can support. I'm just going to finish up saying thanks to everyone who joined. You guys talking to me, and thanks everyone watching and chatting along on the Gun Channel side, as well as the YouTube side, I guess, but Gun Channels is better. And there was one last thing. Sparked my memory. There was a campaign about like a week ago or something, which was hashtag why I carry. Everyone was encouraged to post pictures and videos and blogs and all that stuff about why they carry. Please check out the video on my channel. And that's obviously the Smeggy42 channel. You guys are here, so you know it. But it was just kind of a fun little thing I did. And I hope everyone watches it and leaves comments and suggestions. You'll figure out what I'm talking about when you watch it. It's also over on gunchannels.com in the Smeggy Cave. So just a general plug for gunchannels.com. This is honestly how I've met all of you people. A lot of you watching, I've met in person. A lot of people in here I've met in person. Like, I've grown my group of friends as gun-related people, and I always enjoy talking with you guys. And there's a lot of different stuff going on over there. So if you're not familiar with it, please check it out and, you know, jump in on some of the chat. Some are more formal than others, and maybe you can get your feet wet on a more casual one. You realize you enjoy talking with people from all around the country that share an interest with you. And that's about that. So we're going to keep up a good fight.
Then you get better at talking about guns, and you feel more comfortable talking with guns with somebody who doesn't have the same opinions as you. You have that conversation, maybe even in public. Somebody else hears it, sparks an interest, and you change the world.
Yeah, that's actually an excellent, good point. So thanks for bringing that in. But yeah, so I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to keep fighting. I encourage everyone who watches this to also keep fighting. And yeah, we'll figure it out. So we're going to change the world for the better. And I'll just end by channeling Night Strike and saying, shall not be infringed!